Let's begin another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired word by opening up to 2 Samuel chapter 19, and we'll pick up our story in verse number 11. This is the end of the Absalom coup. Remember that Absalom had plotted against his father, King David, probably because he was angry over David doing nothing about the rape of his full sister Tamar by the crown prince Amnon. And it all came to a head in this particular year at this particular time. And every indication was that Absalom intended to kill his father and take over the throne as the next king of United Israel. But it didn't end up that way. Instead, Absalom ends up dead. The coup collapses underneath his death. And now it's time for David to come back to the throne at Jerusalem. He spent several weeks, perhaps several months, in exile over at Mahanaim in Gilead. But now it's time for him to come home. 2 Samuel 19:11. King David sent this message to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, because we've got a double priesthood right now. Say to the elders of Judah. Now, this is particularly the Judeans, because, honestly, the Judeans seem to have been quite complicit in this coup. David's failures with Bathsheba, which then led to him, I think, coming into a deep depression where he was not responding to governmental things appropriately, I think it led to them being willing to allow Absalom to come to the throne early. But now all that's done. It's all fallen apart. So David is reaching out to the people of his own tribe, saying, "Why should you be the last to bring the king back to his house when the word of all Israel has come to the king?" Meaning the rest of the Israelis have already signaled that they are ready for me to come back to the throne. Why are you dragging your feet? Verse 12, "You are my brothers. You are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to bring back the king?" And then he has a message for his nephew, his grandnephew, I believe. "Say to Amasa." Amasa was the Absalom-appointed commander of the military. He is the son of David's sister's daughter. I believe that's the way it went. And so this is all in the family here. So he has a role in bringing David back as the commander of the military forces. "Are you not my bone and my flesh? God God do so to me and more also if you are not commander of my army from now on in place of Joab." Now this is another instance of David feeling the need to replace Joab. Joab is his nephew, the son of one of his older siblings, his older sister. And so Joab's caused a lot of trouble over the years as commander of the military forces. And so David, I think, bears some ill will toward him in that Absalom was brought back to Jerusalem at Joab's insistence. And so now David is kind of done with him, or at least he wants to be done with him. And so he's going to make this younger relative of his the new commander of United Israel's forces. He swayed the heart of all the men of Judah as one man, so that they sent word to the king, "Return, both you and all your servants." So the word has not gone out. Yes, everybody agrees. We need you back here. You need to be back on the throne here in Jerusalem. So the king came back to the Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to meet the king and to bring the king over the Jordan. So there's going to be some pomp and circumstance. There's going to be some official, practical assistance given to David to bring back all his evacuees and all his material. Verse 16, Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim, hurried to come down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And with him were 1,000 men from Benjamin. And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, with his 15 sons and 20 servants, rushed down to the Jordan before the king. So we've got a lot of people that are trying to be the most helpful in bringing David across the Jordan River to bring him back to Jerusalem. One of them is a Benjamite, and he and his people are like right there. They're Johnny on the spot. 1,000 Benjamites want David back on the throne. That's how much support he has. The Ziba guy, though, this is one of the ones where I express my opinion very strongly on this. I think Ziba is a man looking to protect his own position. He was the steward of King Saul's possessions, his territory, when Saul was alive. When Saul died, when Saul was killed, along with several of his sons, he has been the steward, the controller of all of that material. When David identifies the surviving son of Jonathan, David grants all of that material, all of that Saul property, into the hands of Merib-Baal, Jonathan's son, and tells Ziba, "You're now going to answer to your master, Merib-Baal. All of the property that used to belong to Saul now belongs to him." And I think that that really ticked Ziba off, because he now was out of control. When David was being evacuated from Jerusalem at the Absalom coup, Ziba showed up with a little bit of material support for him. And when David asked, "Where's Merib-Baal?" Ziba said, "Well, he thinks that he's going to get his grandfather's kingdom handed over to him by this coup, and he is sticking behind," meaning he's betrayed you, because David was treating Merib-Baal as an adopted son. And so David at that time said, "Fine, all the material possessions now belong to you, Ziba." All right, so here's that Ziba showing up, helping David get his stuff back across the Jordan crossing point there by Gilgal, or the ruins of Jericho. And it says that Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was about to cross the Jordan. And he said to the king, "Let not my lord the king hold me guilty, or remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem." Because this Shimei did hassle David on his way out. I forgot to mention that in the introduction here. I was too much focused on Ziba, I guess. Shimei was cursing David, not saying filthy words to him, but calling God's judgment down on him as the bloody ender of the Saul dynasty, which was not true. And basically, Shimei was saying, you are getting what you deserve. So here he is. He's gotten a whole bunch of Benjamite support for David, and he is here to make his apology by providing this very practical support of bringing David and his people across the Jordan River. So again, verse 19, he said, let not my Lord hold me guilty, or remember how your servant did wrong on the day my Lord the king left Jerusalem. Do not let the king take it to heart, for your servant knows that I have sinned. So he is confessing here. That's good. That's important. Therefore, behold, I have come this day, the first of all the house of Joseph, to come down to meet my Lord the king. And so here they are in order to help. Now, Abishai, remember, is one of David's nephews, one of the members of the military, and he's always a hothead, seems like. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered, shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed he who is his anointed? So, shouldn't he be executed for the way he treated you on your way out? And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be as an adversary to me? The word adversary there is actually Satan. It's where we get the name for the adversary of our souls. Anyone that speaks up in a negative fashion to cause trouble, that's a Satan. And so these two boys, they're men, obviously, have been causing a lot of trouble for David through the years. And so he's like, why are you still causing all this trouble here? Shall anyone be put to death in Israel this day? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? So I don't want anyone being executed today. I am the king, and I am going to exercise some grace, some mercy. And so the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And then the king gave him his oath. Now, this is very important to remember. The king swore in the name of he who is that he was not going to execute Shimei for his treacherous, traitorous behavior during the Absalom coup. He forgives him for that. Shimei, though, will cause more trouble in the future. And David will find a workaround in order for him to be executed for his continued troublemaking. So file that away for future reference. Now back to the Ziba issue. Remember, Ziba is the steward of all of Meribbaal's lands, which used to be the lands of Saul. David made him in that position. But when David thought that Meribbaal had betrayed him during the Absalom coup, David handed over all of the properties to Ziba. Now we find out that the man was lying. That's my opinion, obviously. Because here comes Meribbaal, the son of Jonathan. Verse 24. Meribbaal, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. He had neither taken care of his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came back in safety. Now, you remember, I said at the beginning here that David's probably been gone many weeks, perhaps a few months during the Absalom coup. Meribbaal has gone into a grieving mode while David was in exile. He is crippled in his feet. He has apparently not been doing his normal foot care routine during the time that David was in exile. He has not cut his beard. More than likely, he's not cut his hair. It's possible he is taking some sort of Nazirite vow that is represented by not cutting the hair. He is not changing out of his clothes, so he's probably rather stinky. He is grieving over what happened to David. Now, that doesn't sound like somebody that thought they were going to benefit from the Absalom coup. And I told you at the time, what Ziba said didn't make sense. Why would Meribbaal, the grandson of the late King Saul, think that he would become king once Absalom ran David out of town? It doesn't make a bit of sense. And yet that's what Ziba said was the reason that Meribbaal was not there to support David in that particular day. So now we get the rest of the story. Verse 25, when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king. So Meribbaal meets him at Jerusalem when David gets back. The king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Meribbaal?" So why weren't you part of the evacuation on the day that I had to run away? And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me," meaning Ziba. "For your servant said to him, 'I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go with the king, for your servant is lame.'" So he had intended to jump on a donkey and come and join David, which makes me think that he may have been somewhere a little farther away than just Jerusalem when the coup took place. And so he had to depend on Ziba getting him a donkey saddled so he could get to the evacuation zone. But Ziba didn't do it. Instead, Ziba took off to Jerusalem himself and, I believe, lied to David about Meribbaal. Verse 27, "He has slandered your servant to my lord the king, but my lord the king is like the angel of God," like the messenger of God. This is a common way of saying somebody that was special and that you want to hear the voice of, right? "So do therefore what seems good to you." So if you think that I really did betray you and you wish to punish me, then I guess that's what you're going to need to do. But I want you to know that that was not what happened. I want you to know my part of the story. Verse 28, "For all my father's house were but men doomed to death before my lord the king, but you set your servant among those who eat at your table. What further right have I than to cry to the king?" So my family line was dead for all practical purposes until you sought me out and made me part of your household. Let me eat at your table as if I were one of your own boys. That was blessing enough for me. You can decide what needs to happen here in this circumstance where Ziba says one thing and I say another. So you can imagine that David would have been caught between these two competing testimonies. And so he has to make a decision. And so he kind of cuts right down the middle here. The king said to him, "Why speak any more of your affairs? I've decided. You and Ziba shall divide the land." So he says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Because it's a he said situation. I'm going to let Ziba have some of the land, and the rest of it is going to belong to you. Now, I'm guessing that Ziba is not going to be working for Meribbaal anymore. If I were Meribbaal, he would be fired. He would not be my servant anymore after all of this. But the text doesn't tell us those details. But listen to Meribbaal's response. Meribbaal said to the king, "Oh, let him take it all, since my lord the king has come safely home." So his attitude is, he could have all of it as long as you're back home safe. Now, I don't think David gave him all of it. I think he kept to his decision here to do a 50-50 split. But Meribbaal, I believe, comes across in every aspect here as the harmed person. I mean, he spent the last several months not taking care of himself because he was grieving David being gone. And now he is willing to be left with nothing again. Remember, the beginning of his story with David, he had nothing. And so he's like, I don't care if I go back to that point as long as you're back on the throne, my lord the king. So Meribbaal, I believe, comes across as the righteous individual in this story and needs to be complimented as such. Verse 31. Now, Barzillai, the Gileadite, had come down from Rogelim. He's one of the guys in Gilead that was supporting David during his period of exile at Mahanaim. He went on with the king to the Jordan to escort him over the Jordan. Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. So he had provided the king with food while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. So he has shown up at the Jordan River crossing. He's still on the Gileadite side. He's still on the east shore. The king said to Barzillai, "Come over with me, and I'll provide you with me in Jerusalem. So come to the palace, come to Jerusalem, I'll take care of you for the rest of your life." But Barzillai said to the king, "How many years have I still to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I'm this day 80 years old. Can I discern what is pleasant and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? Can I listen to the voice of singing men and singing women?" So he basically says, I'm not really cut out for palace life anymore, your majesty. I can't taste whether it's good food or bad food. I can't really hear the nice songs that are being sung by the people in your palace. Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? So why should I be another mouth to feed at the palace? Another person has to have a room provided for him. Your servant will go a little way over the Jordan with the king. So I'll cross the Jordan and I'll escort you a little bit farther, perhaps, you know, up to the bottom of the road that goes up steeply toward Jerusalem, up past the Jericho ruins. Maybe that's how far he would go. But why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant return that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. But here is your servant Gimhem. Let him go over with my lord the king and do for him whatever seems good to you." So he says, I shouldn't go. I'd like to stay near my family plots. That's where I want to die. But I do have this man. Can he go as my substitute? Can he come and be in your court? And so the king answered, Jim Ham shall go over with me, and I will do for him whatever seems good to you, and all that you desire of him, I will do for you. And so all the people went over the Jordan. The king went also, and the king blessed Barzillai, blessed him, and he returned to his own home. So the king went on to Gilgal, Kimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah, and also half the people of Israel, and they brought the king on his way. So they are heading up toward Jerusalem. Then all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, "Why have our brothers, the men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king and his household over the Jordan, and all David's men with him?" So now we have a whole bunch of the northerners, that is the people north of Judah, they're having a fit because they got there too late to help bring David and his stuff across the Jordan. All the men of Judah answered them in their complaint, "Because the king's our close relative. Why then are you angry over this matter? Have we eaten at all at the king's expense? Or has he given us any gift?" And so the men of Israel answered the men of Judah, "We have 10 shares in the king, and in David also we have more than you." Now, this is the idea of, we got 10 tribes that we are here representing. You've got the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Simeon, which is inside of Benjamin Judean territory. So we have more investment in the king. "Why then do you despise us? Were we not the first to speak of bringing back our king?" But the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. And so here we have bickering going on at the return of David back to Jerusalem to sit back upon the throne of Israel again. And this gives you a sense as to how tense things are inside United Tribes of Israel.